You've never... When I've said to you that God spoke to me about something, it's not been often. I have not come carelessly nor recklessly to this platform or this pulpit and told you that God has spoken to me about something. I imagine a dozen times in these 16 and a half years I have made such statements as that I know God wants this. I told you one time that I knew God wanted us to have a high school. I told you one time that I knew God wanted us to start Hiles Anderson College. I told you one time that I knew God wanted us to build our little Baptist city. And tonight, I want you to, while you're listening to me, I want you to remember my track record a little bit on these matters. And I want you to give your trust and your confidence in what I'm going to say, because I'm going to shock you. Over 2.5 years ago, we were made aware that there was a college campus out on Burr Street between Sherrville and Crown Point that may become available. We checked with the authorities that be and found that they were not interested in selling. And then for a year, one night a month, I went out and spent the night in prayer on the campus. I took off my shoes and walked over the campus, and I claimed it for God and for Hiles Anderson College and for the First Baptist Church of Hammond. After a year of that, I prayed. I'm sure others prayed. Dr. Billings, Dr. Evans, Dr. Hilton, others prayed. They contacted us and told us that there was a possibility that they'd be interested in selling Hiles Anderson, or the college, Capuchin Seminary building, where we now have Hiles Anderson College. In case you've not seen it, I do not know of a more beautiful campus in the entire world than we have there. We finally, after much bargaining and miraculous bargaining, offered it $3.5 million, and we started off with $2 million, and finally we agreed that we'd pay them $2.5 million. As you know, we could not pay the $2.5 million immediately, so we agreed to lease the buildings and the college campus for a year and a half at $200,000 a year, or a total of $300,000 for 18 months. And to pay them within the 18 months, the $2.5 million, we paid them $100,000 earnest money, down payment if you please, guaranteed money, leaving a balance of $2,400,000 that we owed for 18 months. Now, you know the story. We raised well over $1 million. I'm guessing around $1.2 million. But of that $1.2 million, about over $200,000 of that we owe on the Bibles that we bought, which means we did clear over $1 million. As you know, God gave us miraculously the cemetery, and we have agreed to purchase $1,100,000 plus, I think it is, Mr. Depper, is that right? About right? About $1,100,000 that our people have agreed to pay over a period of 3 years. We had hoped, as you know, to borrow $1 million or $1.5 million and have the cemetery profits pay for that $1.5 million. And then we raise $1 million and we'd have $2.5 million. We came to the very deadline. We asked the Capuchin Catholic friends, and may I say again what I told one of their leaders last week, I have never been treated as courteously, kindly, and cooperatively in my life by any organization as we've been treated by the Capuchin people. Dr. Billings, I know you'll say that. Right. And Dr. Evans and Dr. Hilton both will say that. They have treated us in every way courteously and kindly, and have cooperated in every way, as I told them this week. We came to the last day. They agreed to give us a 30-day extension, which means that the 30th of January was the deadline, because they given us that extension to the 18 months. On the night of New Year's Eve, the afternoon of New Year's Eve, just a few hours before the meeting we had, the watch night service, and what was the deadline until they gave us the extension to January 30th, a wealthy man who was not a church-going man, but who did commit his life to Christ in my presence, agreed to give us the balance and pay off the balance. That man has not withdrawn that offer. I believe the man is sincerely trying to serve God and made us a valid offer and was not trying to do anything except serve God in giving us the money. Now, we sent out telegrams to all of our students and letters to all of the people, special letters to all the people that had helped across America. And the truth is, the money from the rich man was held up because of some technicalities and some red tape. So while everybody else was rejoicing, I was still going through what you went through in December. And to be quite frank with you, the month of January has been the hardest month of my life. I'm as emotionally drained as ever been in my life. I'm going to make it, and I'm not about to crack up. I still know my name is Bob Billings, and I still know that I'm running for the Supreme Court. But now you're trying to get rid of me. A while ago you want me to stay, and now you're trying to get rid of me. For 18 months we prayed together. For 30 days I prayed alone. And folks all across the country have been congratulating me because of the victory and tapping for me where I've been and making public announcements and honoring me and so forth. And all the time I was still trying to pray down the money. During this time, we kept pursuing the loan as a spare tire in case something were to happen. We did not get the $2.5 million or the rest of the $2.5 million in time to pay it off January 30th. I spent literally scores, hundreds of hours in the last month on this. I say hundreds, I'm sure 200 hours I spent on this in the last month. Mr. Walker, God bless him, he's a godsend to this church. Mr. Walker has worked on the loan. The Hoosier Bank, without whom we could not have made it, humanly speaking, through these years, agreed to let us borrow all they could legally, because we owe them some already. They agreed to let us borrow $500,000. We contacted the Gary National Bank about $1 million loan, making it $1.5 million total. That's what we need to pay off everything. To make a long story short, this past week, I met with a man who offered to give us the money. His offer was valid. Now, hold on to your seat for a minute. He handed me a certified bank draft made out to First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Money is already deposited. and it's as good as a traveler's check for $2.5 million. Now, wait a minute. $2.5 million. I held it in my hand, made out to First Baptist Church Hammond. Now, if I ever needed you, confidence, I need it right now. I couldn't take it. And I refused it. Now I'll tell you why. Now you say you really cracked up this time. I don't think so. I'm going to give you the reasons. And I hope you'll follow me. And if you have to, follow me blindly. Number one, I felt that our church has started a job that we ought to finish as a family. We bought a high school one time, started ourselves as a family, built it. I stood in the auditorium over here, about right there, one morning and raised $45,000. One service. That's a lot of money for us back in those days. We got an old building out in Calumet Township, remodeled it. It's now the Calumet High School, I think it's called. Or what? Not Calumet. Baptist Academy. And we started our high school. We did it ourselves. We and our close friends, like people are practically in our family, like Dr. Russell Anderson made a contribution to it, and others. And we did it. One day I stood up and I said, God has led us to build Baptist City, and spoken to my heart about building Baptist City. And we built what is the nicest complex of Christian for a Christian grade school and high school in America today. Now, how did we do it? We tightened our belts. We sacrificed. We gave. And we can drive by Baptist City tonight and look at that grade school, and every little child in this church can say, I had a part in that. Every one of us can say, I had a part in it. I did it. It's ours. We started a college. And like an arrow through my soul, God told me we ought to finish what we started. We at First Baptist Church, so far, have taken care of our needs for these institutions. I'm not saying that I wouldn't suggest we take big gifts sometime, somebody else. But I'll be honest with you. I could not take $2.5 million and pay off the initial college property with money outside. I just couldn't do it. Now, I am as sure as I am that I'm standing here that the Holy Spirit told me not to take that $2.5 million. I held it in my hand, check $2.5 million, made out to First Baptist Church of Hammond, handed it back to the fellow who wants to give it to us, and told him I didn't want it. Number two. Well, let me put it this way. 20 years from tonight, I want Cindy Hiles, who got a job, worked 5 months, and gave every dime of it, but $13, I understand, to the college. I want her to drive by that school in years to come and say that I helped put that school there. And the preacher needed me. Without me, he couldn't have done it. I want the little children who gave their piggy banks, your kids. I want them in years to come drive by Hiles Anderson College campus and say, the initial building and property, they couldn't have bought it without my piggy bank. And the thought of somebody else paying for the whole thing and neutralizing all the sacrifice of our people, It just didn't sound like First Baptist Church. I could not neutralize your sacrifices, the piggy banks, the letters that you've written, sacrifice, the jewelry you've given, the moonlight jobs you've gotten, the second job you men have gotten, and you ladies have gone to work, just to make enough money to pay off your promise, your commitment to Hiles Anderson College. You folks have given your life savings. We have about 50 or 60 students had to drop out of college for the spring semester in order that they might be able to pay their promise and keep their pledge for the Hiles Anderson College building. Now, I just couldn't say to all those people, we didn't really need your money. I have in my pocket 69 cents. 69 of the most precious cents you'll ever have in your life. They were put in a letter, envelope. How it got through the mail, I don't know without spilling, but it did. From a little child, second grader, said, "Dear Brother Hiles, how many people did you have when you preached at your first church? I'm sending you this letter to help you in your college. I'm sending all the money I have, 69 cents. The devil is not wanting me to do it, but I'm going to anyway, because you need the money in your college. I think I want to be a preacher of God if God calls me. I'm glad you love everybody. I love you. In Jesus' name." Now, I can truthfully say that tonight we need that money. If I'd kept that $2.5 million from a completely outside source, we wouldn't have needed that money tonight. And that little child said, "You need my 69 cents. And I do need it. And I couldn't neutralize your sacrifices. I hope you'll understand this. I couldn't take the $2.5 million because I need to need you. I need to need you. I'm the biggest loser in all this. For 30 years, I've carried an unbelievable load financially. I've gone from week to week. Last thing I did before I walked over here tonight was go check the offering for this morning to see if we made the budget. And I've died a death nearly every Sunday night about finances. And I'll be honest with you. I've enjoyed the possibility of having some relief from it. Everybody on this staff, if they go over their budget, they call a preacher and say, "I need some more money." I don't have it most of the time. Folks can just glibly overspend. And they always think that the old man has some money somewhere tucked away in a sack or sock or a tin can in the ground somewhere. And I've been looking forward for a long time to coming to a place in my ministry where I wouldn't need to worry. I'd like to go 1 week where I wouldn't have to check the offering sheet and spend half the night praying and sometimes, I'm sorry to say, worrying because of finances. I've been looking forward to having $1 million in the black. $1 million. In the black. I could see relief. No sleepless nights. No rushing to the financial report. No financial worries. But I saw something else. I saw a day in my life when I wouldn't have to come to you for our needs. I'm not built to be a rich, famous preacher. I'm not that kind of person. I'm a folksy, homey, homespun kind of a guy. And I'll be honest with you, I'd be awful lonely if I didn't need you. If I didn't have to sometimes stand up here and say, "Folks, we're facing a wall. And we've got to tighten our belts and give extra." When I looked at that $2.5 million certified bank draft, I saw in my hands freedom from worry and fretting about finances. But I also saw standing up here a little bit more independent than I want to be. Quite frank with you, I just need to need you. And there's another thing. I think you need me to need you. I think that little children need to say the preacher needed my 69 cents. I think little widows need to say the preacher needed my two mites. I think hard-working men needed to say the preacher needed my $100. I think college students need to say the preacher needed my sacrifice. Quite frank with you, I was afraid maybe our love would grow a little cold for each other if we didn't need each other. And I'd rather fret about the money and have sleepless nights than for us not to have the sweet spirit we've enjoyed through these years. I'm not saying that if somebody wants to give us money someday, hundreds of thousands of dollars or $2.5 million, to build some buildings for Hiles Anderson College, that I'll turn it down. But folks, I just couldn't keep the money to pay for the first building with. I guess one of the worst things in the world is not to feel needed. If you don't feel like anybody needs you anymore. And I don't ever want to become independent of my people. That's one reason why I'm not wealthy myself. Anybody in this room who knows me knows I could be wealthy if I so chose. If I just took the money on my books, I could become a rich man and I'd be a millionaire by now, if God would let me live. But I've chosen to stay poor because I want the closeness. I like the bag of oranges that Mr. O'Clair and his family brought me back from Florida. I like the cookies that Gail McKinney brought me last night when she came for an appointment. I like the dime under my door a while ago, that little child pushed under the door. I like the pineapple that somebody in the church brought me from. They went to Hawaii about a year ago and they came and gave me a pineapple, but they forgot to take the Burger supermarket sticker off the bottom of it. They had wanted me to think they bought me a pineapple from Hawaii, so they went down to the store, Munster, and bought one and brought it to me, and I appreciated it. Dirty liars. But I'll be honest with you. I think we'd have lost something if we hadn't finished the job as a family. I know some of you didn't have a Christmas. Some of you ladies have bare fingers tonight because you gave your wedding band and we sold it. Somebody gave a grandfather's clock, cameras, movie projectors, screens, graduation rings, collections of money, rare coins, stamp collections, and other things. Don't you see, if I'd have taken that $2.5 million and paid off the campus with that, you wouldn't have been needed. And I feel that if we ever get the place where Hiles Anderson College doesn't need you and have to have you, Hiles Anderson College could go under. The thing that has destroyed more schools than any other 10 things has been endowment. When the school got so much money that the school could look at its founders and say to its founders, we don't have to have you anymore. We have enough money without you now. And I feared for Hiles Anderson College to have enough money in its account to where it did not have to have First Baptist Church. Now, I know right now a lot of you are saying that's the craziest preacher I ever saw in my life. I know, and I understand why you would. I don't ask you to understand me. I just ask you to believe me and trust me. That's all. I know I did the right thing. I know I did. When I turned the check back And I announced to the donor, who, by the way, may I say again, who made a valid offer, and I think is sincere, and I think he's going to serve God. I think he's sincerely gotten right with God in his heart. I think he wants to serve God. When I said to him, no, I'll not take it, we did not, at that time, have the loan finished. Mr. Walker will vouch for this. At 9:12, 2 hours and 48 minutes before the deadline, 9:12 on Friday night, I called Mr. Walker, and he said that everything is all right. And the Hoosier Bank and the Gary National Bank have gone together and have agreed to give us a joint loan of $1.5 million, which means that the college is saved. I called the Catholic people. They gave us enough time to proceed with the papers and the legal matters of getting the title, deed, and so forth all fixed up. Now, that means this. That means that what you gave, along with what many dear friends around the country gave, I'm not discounting the gifts of many dear friends. We couldn't have done it without them. But with what they gave, what you gave, and what you're going to pay for your cemetery property, we will have paid for Howells Anderson College ourselves. There's another reason why I didn't take it, and that is we need to need God every day. I'd miss praying for $1,000 extra we had to have. I'd miss going alone and saying, oh, my God, I've got to have $10,000 this week. I'd miss that. I guess maybe God knows I wouldn't be a good Christian if he didn't keep me broke all the time. I don't know. But I'd miss it. I'd miss the sweetness. You know, I think a couple that has too much is unfortunate. Fortunate is the couple that has to get things along as they can afford it. Young lady that marries into millions, I think, is sometimes unfortunate. Young lady that marries into someone who loves her and will care for her but doesn't have a great deal to start with, I think, is most fortunate. For 16 years and a half years, our church has moved on its knees. We've gone from need to need. And God has amazingly met and supplied every need we've had. I'd miss that. Sure, I'd like to have $1 million in the bank. Sure. Sure, I'd like to go home tonight and not even look to see what the offering was today. But I'm afraid many nights I'd go to bed instead of going to an ease. And I'd miss the sweetness of saying, dear Lord, I need you. Give me this day my daily bread. There's another reason why I didn't take it. Russell Anderson has been a friend of friends to this church. He's a member of our family, as much a member of our family as any of us are. He's down to earth. He's our kind of guy. He gave $150,000 to this. This may sound sort of funny, but I wanted old Russ's gift to be the biggest one. That's another reason. Now the question comes, preacher, why did God give it to us? That's why I had the scripture read a while ago about Abraham and Isaac. God said, Abraham, I want your son Isaac. Abraham took Isaac, 3 days' journey, put him on an altar on Mount Moriah, tied him, raised the knife to pierce his breast. And God said, hold it, Abraham. I just want to know if you'd do it. There's a ram caught in the thicket over here. Take that ram and offer that ram in its place. The Lord wanted to find out if Abraham would really give him everything. I think the First Baptist Church of Hammond needed a miracle. I mean, an outside miracle. I mean, something to happen to us that's probably never happened to a church in the history of America. Something big. I think we needed it. I think we needed to offer. I do not think we needed the money. Several years ago, I was driving an old red Plymouth car. It was a valiant, really wasn't very valiant, sort of a cowardly thing. But it was a red Plymouth Valiant. And I drove to the airport and back. Thing would barely run. One day I was going to the airport and I looked down and I saw the highway underneath my car. I thought, good night, that's a road passing under me there. There's a hole about that big in the bottom of that Plymouth floor that worn through. And I could see the road. I said, dear Lord, I think it'd honor you if you'd get me a new car. Would you give me a new car? I took that trip, came back home. When I got back home the next morning after I got back, the telephone rang. It was long distance from another state. A fellow who works in a Oldsmobile agency said, Dr. Hiles, there's a fellow who lives in another state, 1,000 miles from here, who called and said the Lord had burdened him to buy you a new Oldsmobile. And he said, if you'll just come on to Texas where I work, he said, that man in the other state said, pick out any Oldsmobile you want, we have, or order any Oldsmobile they put out, and it's yours. He said, now, when do you think you can come? And I said, I don't think I'll come. He said, why? I said, I don't want the car. He said, what kind of car are you driving now for yourself? I said, Plymouth, with a hole in the floorboard. I said, the truth is, I prayed Monday for a new one. He said, well, here's your answer. I said, I know, I'm glad to get the answer, but don't want the car. I just want the answer. And the rest of the week, I felt like I fell on a honeymoon. How do you feel on a honeymoon? But I felt like the Lord now on a honeymoon together. And I said, Lord, it sure is good to know that you give me what I want. You know, I didn't want the car as bad as I thought I did. But I needed to know God still loved me. And God had given me what I wanted. Don't you recall when David one day was looking down to the well in Bethlehem? And he said, I wish I could have a drink of water out of the old well. I used to play there when I was a kid. Nostalgia gripped his soul, and David said, I wish I had a drink of water for that old well. But David couldn't go down to the well because encamped between David and the well on the side of that mountain was the entire Philistine army. But three of David's mighty men overheard what David was saying to himself. And those three mighty men fought their way through the entire Philistine army to get David a drink of water out of that well. Our commander wants a drink of water. He wants a drink of water out of that well, the well of Bethlehem, and we'll get it for him. And they brought the water back, again, fighting their way through the Philistine army. And they said, David, here's your water. And David said, what water's that? And they said, that's the water you said you wanted. We overheard you say that you'd like to have a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem. Here it is. And David said in so many words, did you fight your way through the Philistine army to get me that drink of water? And they said, yes, we did. And David took the water and poured it out on the ground. And they said, why did you do that? And David said, it's not the water I want. It's your loyalty I want. And I think that's why God gave us. We've seen a miracle. I held it in my hands. I actually saw it, felt it. $2.5 million made out to First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana. Money already paid. Down at the bottom it says, redeemable by cash in any United States bank. And I said, Lord, thank you. I'm sure glad you're up there. And I'm sure glad you hear me. And I want to thank you for showing my people you're there. But Lord, really all I wanted was to know you're there. If you don't mind, I'd just rather keep on praying from day to day and say, give me this day my daily bread. If you don't mind. I just sort of like it the way it's been. I felt the same way I felt when my uncle offered me $250,000 one time. My rich uncle. And I turned it down. I felt the same way I felt when Russell Anderson gave me a $100,000 apartment house. I have the deed to it in the office now. Been there for 8 or 9 years. He said, it's yours. All you got to do is sign the deed. I've never signed it. Still in the office right now. Apartment house, I guess, now is worth over $100,000. I could own that. That's $350,000 I've turned down. Offered just as a gift to me. That's over a third of $1 million alone. I'm glad old Russ loves me enough to want to give it to me. I'm glad my dear Uncle Harvey, who's now in heaven, one of the best friends I ever had, wanted to give it to me. I don't want the money. I want Uncle Harvey. I don't want the money. I want Russell Anderson's friendship. Once it was the blessing. Now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling. Now it is His Word. Once His gifts I wanted, now the giver owned. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone. All in all is Jesus. Of Jesus will I sing. Everything is Jesus, and Jesus is everything. And I'm glad that God did it. And I'm glad that He did it right before the watch night service. And not a bit of the joy the watch night service has taken away from me. Because God gave it to us from an unknown source, somebody I'd never met. I've only met him, only seen him 5 times in my life now, and 3 of those times were last week. And that's what it is. You say, what was the hard part? Telling you. Like a guy going home telling his wife, I just sold her house and car and all I got and all your clothes. Mortgage the kids. I mean, how do you tell a church that somebody offered the church $2.5 million and you didn't take it? Well, what do you do? Well, you pay up your insurance policies and get ready to be crucified or scalped, one or the other. Now, I think I did right. The college is ours. We're going to have to pay off our Bibles. And we've got to pay off our cemetery lots. And I'll probably be buried in one after you kill me. But we're going to make it. We're going to make it day by day. We just took enough manna today to feed us for today. We're going to have to go out and gather some more tomorrow. We're going to have to keep singing Strength for Today is Mine All the Way and All That I Need for Tomorrow. We're going to have to say, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. And I'm going to have to keep on checking that report over there every Sunday night. And we're going to have to keep tightening our belts. And I'm going to come back to you time after time and say, folks, I need you. And you're going to have to say, oh, my soul, not again. I already got 3 mortgages on my house. Take out a fourth lien against my house. Sell one of the kids. Do something. That preacher keeps us broke. I think if you didn't have that, you'd miss it. My mother's sitting down here tonight. I give her a few dollars a month. My sister gives her a few dollars a month. Mama, how much did you give to the college fund, the Bibles and everything? I haven't got time to stand up here all night. Answer me. How much? $880 and $350. My mother gave $1,200, and I needed it, and she enjoyed it. And I somehow don't want to steal from her the right to do it again next time. Now, again, I say, somebody may someday say, here's $1 million. Build a chapel for the college. And I think we'll take it. But the first part, I mean, you know, the homestead. I thought it had to be ours. And I feel lonesome right now. I feel like I've taken your money and so forth. Now, you may not understand now, all of you, but in a few years you will. You know, I worked my way through college, a little bit of it, a year and a half, laying oak floor in houses. I'd love to go back to Texas and pass by those houses where I laid the oak floor. Realize that for 25, 30 years, folks have been walking on those floors that I laid. I'd have to go back to that little East Texas church I used to pastor and get up on the platform and remember how I laid the floor myself. I mean, myself. I'd love to go back to that little church in Garland, Texas, where I pastored for 7 years almost. Look at that educational building and say, I put the drywall up in my own hands. I mean, you've heard me tell it. Many a piece of drywall in that building is hanging there with one little shingle nail. Because you know how busy I am. I was in a hurry. I had to get the thing done. I figured the tape on the end, the tape embedding, would help hold it together too. Tonight, the city of Garland, Texas, would condemn that building if they knew all I knew about it. I built it myself. I love the place. On the outside of the building, it says Hiles Building. On the inside is my picture. It says Jack Hiles, soul winner, a little plaque under my picture. I love the place. Not much, but I love it. I love that little first building I ever built, a little $4,000 lean-to back on the back of our Grange Hall Baptist Church. It cost us $4,000. I laid the floor myself. I like to drive by it and say, I built that. Had a part in it. And I believe in years to come, I believe that those of you that are doubting me right now will look back to February 1st, 1976 as one of the best things that we ever did in First Baptist Church of Hammond. Now, I know it's hard. Many of you, some of you visitors have already passed out. When my preacher friends around the country hear about this, they'll have me admitted to some institution. I'll be pastor of the church in Westville just in a matter of a few days now. I know that. And maybe some of you can go to the fellow and find him and take the $2.5 million, but I couldn't. I just couldn't do it. So, college is ours. We're going to have to make payments on another loan. And we won't be able to build a new building out of the college before next September that we so desperately need. And we'll have to next year use our dining hall as a part-time chapel and have one part of the student body every day in there watching on closed-circuit television. And we'll have to have students three deep in the dormitories. But we can say tonight, it's ours. Amen. And we finished the job. We finished the job. Thank you. Don't stand up. Don't stand up. Don't stand up. Thank you. I guess I just wasn't built up where I thought I was. And maybe I'm just not a good enough Christian to take it without having to beg God all the time. And maybe the Lord knows I'm so ornery, He's going to have to keep me on my face and on my knees and flat busted the rest of my life. I don't know. But I guess that's just sort of the way I'm built. And so I stand here tonight, and I need you. I need you to tithe. I checked the offering. We got about $500 under the budget today. For the last few weeks, I haven't checked it too carefully. Why check it? I even got a pencil down, and I said, or a pen out, and I said, if we divide for $5,000 under the budget, $5,000 into a million, that's 200, isn't it? Huh? So I said, for at least 200 weeks, I ain't got a worry in the world. Because we got $1 million we're going to have in the bank. And, now, I guess I should have had a meeting of the deacons. I couldn't get the deacons together after I turned the check back. And, some of you understand what I did. Many of you understand why I did it. You know, First Baptist Church of Hammond never has been a big church. Never has been. First Baptist Church of Hammond, and don't say amen to this, but you never have had a big pastor. You just had sort of a big brother that loves you an awful lot and is trying to help you rear your kids. So, I don't think we'd have been very good rich folks anyhow. We'd have been like the Beverly Hillbillies. You know, it just wouldn't have fit very good. That's all. Cadillacs don't look good in our parking lot. If you got one, keep putting it over there. But I just don't much think we'd have really felt comfortable with $1 million in the bank. Now, I say this. God bless Mr. Walker. That man's carried the load sort of with me. He didn't know all that you know tonight. In fact, he didn't know this till right now. But he knew somehow that I still wanted to borrow that money. And he's fought and fought and fought and fought to meet the deadline. And I'll love him forever for it. But that's the way it is. Now, if I've made a mistake, I apologize. I'm sure I've not. If you think I've made a mistake, I apologize. But if you'll do this for me, as you've done before, if you'll say, I believe God speaks to the preacher occasionally, and I believe He did this time, and I don't understand it, but I'll trust the guy. Craziest nut I ever met, but I'll trust him. I can still see old Ed Roush 16 years ago stand up and try to calm the people when they were giving me trouble. I said, folks, I don't understand Brother Hiles either, but he's our preacher, and we called him, and let's trust him, and let's follow him. We owe him a chance to lead us, and let's follow him. Amen. So if you don't understand why I did it, if you'll just trust me that I'm sure I did the right thing. Now, the fellow that wanted to give the money, he can't understand it. I'm nutty to him. And I'll be nutty to everybody across America that hears it, merely. And it'll be across America. And I realize what I've done. I've not jumped into this tonight. This thing will sweep this country like a prairie fire. And I'll be the biggest screwball in America. But I'll be what I want to be more than I want to be anything else in the Lord's work. I'll be your preacher in need of you, and you'll have a preacher who needs you. Amen. And you'll have that warm feeling and that broke feeling that comes therefrom. And I'll have the feeling when I stand up here but back yonder in 1975 and the early days of 76, we faced a crisis that almost broke our hearts and almost broke our backs and almost broke our equilibrium mentally. But we fastened our belts. We gave and gave and gave and gave and promised to buy a cemetery lot. And, pardon the slang, buy cracky. Hadn't said that in years. Buy cracky. We did it. And I'll guarantee you that 20 years from tonight, whether you're on earth or in heaven, you'll look back and you'll say, God gave the preacher wisdom that night. Maybe I couldn't understand it, but God gave the preacher wisdom that night. That means, teenagers, every dime you sacrificed, we had to have it. That means, kids, every piggy bank you gave, we couldn't have done without it. The truth is, if my figures are right, if we can sell $13,000 more Bibles, we'll have enough money to pay off the Bibles and pay off, finish the $2.5 million, which means every dime that's come in, we've needed, and we need $13,000 more dimes right now. So right back where we were. But I feel as good tonight as I felt in my life about what I did. May I say again, folks from all across America have sent us a dollar and five and ten. Somehow I felt like that I'd be betraying those little quivering hands that wrote us and said, here's a dollar for your college. Some little widow somewhere. And we've needed everything that's come in. And I won't be able to have to look at anybody now and say to them, well, I made you a sacrifice and pleaded with you to sacrifice and you gave your life's blood, you gave your diamond ring, and you gave your maybe some folks even sold a house. You gave your piggy bank and you gave all you had in some cases. I can look you square in the eye and say I needed it. As long as it's the Hiles Anderson College, you can point to that first little group of buildings there and to the 71 acres and you can say, me and God did that. Me and God. Now, if you're here tonight and you'd say, and you're not saved, then you'd say, what would make a guy a big enough fool to turn down $2.5 million? May I say to you, you're a bigger fool than I am if you're not saved. $2.5 million won't buy the doorknob to the house that's been prepared for me tonight. And one for you too if you take it. You say, boy, what a fool. Turn down $2.5 million. $2.5 million wouldn't even pave my driveway when I get to heaven with golden streets. I think if anything in the world ought to make a person want to come to Christ, it'd be what I've given you tonight. And so if you're not saved, I'd like to see you come to Christ. You'll be amazed how little importance you'll place on things that are important to you now. You'll be amazed how insignificant things will seem that now seem like mountains. You'll be amazed. Well, I just finished the hardest hour that I've spent since July of 1960 when we had our split. And I don't know whether you're going to rush on me like Moses did, like you did Moses and Aaron. I don't know whether you're going to go home, pick up your telephone, and start calling everybody and spreading a bunch of stuff. I don't know what you're going to do. But I'm going to go home and sleep real good. Amen. I'm going to say, Lord, I did what you told me to do. Amen. And I know it was right. Let's pray. Lord, you and I understand this. And I pray you'd help my people to either understand it or trust us. And I turn toward those tonight that are not thy people and pray that they'll find something in what I've said tonight that'll make them want to become thy people.